2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be looking at Paul's sufferings. In chapter 11, Paul will explain to us his mission as an apostle. And he admits to the Corinthians that he probably or possibly sinned against them by not receiving support from them in his ministry there. For in that time and in that culture, anybody of prominence, and Paul was, he was a rabbi, they would receive money for their speaking engagements. And for sharing before the people, they received money. But Paul, he knew the Corinthians were poor. They were a poor church. Therefore, Paul, he used offerings from Macedonia instead of collecting money from the Corinthians. And Paul didn't want to be found profiting from a poor church there at Corinth. Now, that mindset that Paul had, how much is that needed in today's high-profile TV ministries that are out there? I have a habit of watching some of those on TV, and I wait for the punchline, and their punchline is money. These TV ministries, they often openly plead to give what they call seed faith money. And that seed faith money, of course, goes to them. And if you'll do this, God will bless you abundantly. My question, why don't they use some of that seed faith money they have to supply the needs they want supplied by the Lord? Why don't they practice what they preach? But you're not going to get an answer from the TV, so I move along. As Christians, we need to support ministries that minister to us. Now, here at Calvary, we don't put a guilt trip on anybody about their giving. I kind of refuse to do that. But your tithes and your offerings are ways for you to show your daily need of God in your life. So we give cheerfully. But we try to do our utmost to be faithful with the monies that you give. We are a small fellowship, but our needs are met. Can you imagine the money that goes through these large fellowships? But that's having said enough. Paul realized his sin and perhaps not receiving support from the Corinthians. The Corinthians, I think, wanted to be part of Paul's ministry financially. Even though they were of poor means, they still wanted to be givers. So giving is a privilege, not a chore. So let's move into chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. We'll start in verse 16. And Paul says, I will say again, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool, that I may also boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishness in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I will also boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with if one brings into you into bondage, he devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we are not weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. You wonder what drove Paul to this point of boasting in his flesh. But he opens this section of scripture with, and he says, let no one think me to be a fool. When we read the New Testament, consider that Paul wrote about half of it. That's quite a chore in and of itself. Paul was anything but a fool. Historians, scholars of Scripture consider Paul one of the sharpest intellectual minds ever. One of the best minds that ever has lived on this earth. And Paul is known for his brilliancy. But Paul's instructor was a man named Gamaliel, who tells how he labored to keep Paul in reading material. He had to find things for Paul to read and absorb. And Paul is ready, he's willing to be known as a fool for his boasting. Paul qualifies, and he says, I am not speaking according to the Lord, but I'm speaking in and of myself or my own convictions. And he says, so I will boast. So let's listen to Paul's boast. And that's in verses 22 through 31. And Paul asks here, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seeds of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what come upon me daily, my deep concerns for all the churches. Who is weak? I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? I do not burn with indignation. And if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. We'll stop at that point right now. Paul is proud of his Jewish heritage. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of the children of Abraham? Me too. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more so. More in labors, more in stripes, and beyond measure. Paul's heritage as a Jewish, you might say, rabbi, were impeccable. Paul is declaring, I was an Israelite of Judea. I was of the tribes, not of the tribes of the northern contingent, those of the northern tribes, but he was a tribe of Judea, which they thought was a little bit better. And of all the apostles, none of them were more honorable than I was. And Paul classifies his heritage, and he says, it's impeccable. But he says, I tell you this in foolishness. For I am a minister, and minister means a lowly servant being esteemed by others. Paul says, in stripes or beatings, 5 times. He was beaten with 40 stripes minus one, or 195 stripes were laid on Paul. And these stripes came from the Jewish community. The Jewish leaders inflicted these upon him. Now, the process of a Jewish beating, it was quite gruesome. Your hands were tied to a post, and you were stripped of all the clothing on you. One-third of the stripes would be upon the breast. A third would be on the right shoulder, and a third on the left shoulder. And the person doing the beating was to do it with all of his strength. And then Paul goes on, he says, but not only was I beaten by the Jews, but the Romans beat me with rods 3 times. And these rods were loose, limber, and they brought up welts upon the body every time you received a blow. And Paul, he says, I was shipwrecked, and I spent 24 hours in the water, in the seas. Paul also talks about being stoned. And he says, whether in this body or out of this body, I don't know. But Paul was stoned. They thought he was dead. The brethren pray for him. And this is in Lystra. And he gets up and goes back into the city. He was not afraid of physical harm. In the book of Acts, we read of 18 journeys that Paul took by ship. And this was recorded before 2 Corinthians came into being. And then he went on many other journeys afterwards. Paul did not like to travel by ship. Oftentimes, if the distance wasn't too great, he would walk to his next city, the next place he was to minister. And Paul, he would speak of the perils or the dangers and the fears that came upon him. It was a hardship for Paul to travel. He said, in dangers of water, in dangers of shipwreck, in dangers of robbers. And the robbers would hang out in the desolate places in gangs, and they would steal from the travelers and beat them up and basically take their monies. So when you traveled in that day, you would usually travel as a party or as a group, not traveling by yourself, because you were more of a prey when you travel by yourself. The cities were not necessarily a safe haven either. For there were, in the cities were hostile mobs, and they were a constant threat to the new Christians there. And out in the wilderness, they were in constant threat of wild animals out in the wilderness. The difficulties that Paul chose for a lifestyle initiated by Christ were great. And Paul gives us a clue as to why he continued in his way of suffering. And that's in Galatians 20, where we read Paul's dedication. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was on a mission. Many read the letters of Paul and think that he must have a death wish. He always is suffering. No, Paul understood and lived out his faith and suffering as it was a duty for him to do that. We read about how the Lord would show Paul through Ananias all the things that he must suffer. And Paul wanted to closely identify with the Lord. And if that flesh of his had to suffer, so be it. And he continued to boast in his suffering. He said, I've been in weariness. I've been in labors. I've been in sleeplessness all of the time, not to mention hunger, thirst, coldness, and nakedness that were a way of life for Paul. At the close of one of his letters, Paul writes and he says, tell my fellow workers to bring my coat, for I am cold. It's wearisome to be cold and can't get warm. And Paul asked for him to bring his coat where he can warm up a little. And from all of these hardships, Paul suffers. But Paul had a deep mental concern for all the churches. And if their walk was maturing, if they were living out their life for Christ. Paul, he had a mantra for his life. Serve Christ in all circumstance. And if that requires suffering, so be it. For Paul, suffering for Christ was more important than ease or comfort. So Paul, he boasts about his infirmities. And his concern for the Corinthians was a deep, heartfelt concern. He was more concerned than the physical. He took it to his mind. It troubled him in his mind. But let me read the last suffering of Paul in chapter 11, his verse 32 and 33. This will give you insight into Paul. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. Paul, I think he felt guilty having escaped being arrested because he listed it as a suffering. He was let down in a basket from the wall of Damascus. And I think that was unnatural for Paul. He wanted to stand up for Christ in all things. Now, for you and me, I try to avoid suffering. I don't like it. A natural reaction for me when I avoid suffering is, wow, that was close. But not for Paul. He wanted to identify with Christ completely. In his recollection or memory, he avoided persecution there at Damascus by being let down in a basket. And I think his avoiding suffering, I think it haunted Paul. I think it bothered him. He listed it as one of the sufferings when he escaped. I think Paul felt it was wrong to escape by being let down in a basket. And I think it brought him regrets. And I think he thought, why did I try to escape being persecuted because of Christ? And Paul lists this basket escape as a suffering. Most of us, as Christians, we would look upon this escape as deliverance, not as a suffering, but not for Paul. The basket was the last suffering Paul lists in a laundry list of sufferings. He lists how he escaped. And I think that troubled Paul more than the suffering did. Paul lived out in his life how to be crucified with Christ, and that brought him great satisfaction within himself. Now, we have in Paul a hero in the faith. For me, Paul was that worthy apostle. not counting sufferings as a thing to be avoided, but sufferings were to be his identity in the Lord Jesus. I admire Paul for that. I think he was definitely one of my heroes of the faith as he lived out his sufferings being crucified with Christ. What an identity Paul sought out. Not one of ease and comfort, but he wanted to be known as being crucified with Christ. So when we suffer, and we do, my sufferings are not worth mentioning, for I've never been physically abused in any way because of Christ. But Paul was. He suffered greatly. And he thought it was a worthwhile thing to suffer for Christ. Amen? Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, we read about Paul. We read about how he considered it a privilege to suffer for you and for your causes. He was crucified with you. He thought it was to be part of his life, part of his makeup, to be suffering for you, Jesus. And so many times I look upon suffering as a bad and evil thing that's just happening and coming upon me. Give me a mindset. Give me a heart like the Apostle Paul, Lord, one who suffered greatly for you and for your kingdom. He counted it a privilege to suffer, and it bothered him that he avoided persecution, perhaps, by being let down in a basket from a city wall. And he lists that as one of his sufferings, that he avoided being arrested. Lord, may we have that mindset. May we be fervent in our desire to serve you. And if that entails going through some hard time, so be it. Lord, we don't want to be that silver spoon Christian. We want to be one that knows you up close and personal, knows you for the Lord and God that you are, and is willing, if necessary, to suffer with you, Lord. So give us that mindset. Help us, Lord, for we so often avoid suffering at any cost, regardless. So be with us. Correct our thinking. We're blessed with eternal life, and Lord, may we give you thanks and credit for that. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.